CyberWorks Podcast. Learn anytime, anyplace.
Welcome to the next segment of e-learning accessibility for training managers and human resource professionals, which is part of the CyberWorks e-learning podcast series. My name is Mary Kay Laferno, and I am the marketing director here at CyberWorks, and I'm your host today. In the first segment of our mini-series, we provided some background on the American Disabilities Act, Section 508, and an introduction to the W3C accessibility guidelines. In the second segment, we discussed the W3C's Level 1 accessibility checkpoints. In the third segment, we covered the W3C's Level 2 accessibility checkpoints. And in today's podcast, we will be focusing on the W3C's Level 3 accessibility checkpoints. Throughout our mini-series, I will be talking with Al Lemieux, Senior e-learning developer here at CyberWorks and frequent contributor to the online training content journal blog about e-learning accessibility. Good afternoon, Al. How's it going?
Great.
Okay, let's get started. For Level 3, in the general requirements section, it says, specify the expansion of each abbreviation or acronym in a document where it first occurs.
Anytime you use either the ABBR or acronym tag, you need to put in a title attribute that defines the abbreviation or acronym.
All right. The next one says, identify the primary natural language of a document. This one sounds pretty self-explanatory, but just so it's clear, what do they mean by primary natural language?
This is in the HTML tag in XHTML 1.1. Use a lang attribute to set the language of your page on a site. Usually it's lang equals en for English.
Okay, on to the next one. Create a logical tab order through links, form controls, and objects. Again, this one sounds like common sense, but why is it important?
Some disabled users don't use a mouse at all to navigate. They navigate pages through keyboard access only. To facilitate better movement through a navigation menu on a page, the tab index and access key attributes can be used to define keyboard access to those items. For example, a menu that contains 10 items can have tab indexes that range from 1 to 10. A user can then simply type the number 1 on the keypad to activate the first item in the list. Tab index is also useful for navigating within a form. Likewise, any link that can be given an access key attribute, which allows the user to access the link by any key on the keyboard.
Okay, the next one is about keyboard shortcuts, and it's always a popular topic on the Online Training Content Journal blog. Provide keyboard shortcuts to important links, including those in client-side image maps, form controls, in groups of form controls. Where can someone find a list of keyboard shortcuts?
Well, actually, the keyboard shortcuts are not listed anywhere. They are created by the developer. When the screen reader reads the links to the user, it will identify the access keys associated with the links. Then the user can type a desired key and the link will be activated.
Okay, what about this one? Until user agents, including assistive technologies, render adjacent links distinctively, include non-link printable characters surrounded by spaces between adjacent links.
Well, this is also known as skip navigation. Let's say you have a menu with 20 links, and immediately following that, there's a link to your contact information. Instead of having the user laboriously go through all 20 links before getting to the contact link, you can provide a skip navigation link that bypasses the 20 links and goes directly to the contact link. The problem with skip navigation is that it's visible even to the unimpaired user.
Mm.
There are ways to hide it using the visibility property in CSS. The model for skip navigation is the same as for anchored links. There would be a link to the top of this page that reads skip navigation and have a link to pound contact. Next to the contact link, there would be a tag with a named anchor, possibly skip. The link at the top of the page goes to the contact link.
Again, this one makes a lot of sense, but it's probably not done often. Provide information so that users may receive documents according to their preferences, e.g., language, content type, etc.
Wherever possible, alternative content should be offered to the user to meet their preferences. For example, a French version of your page for French viewers. This also refers to interchangeability offered by the style tag to alter the presentation according to usage, such as screen, handheld, and print.
All right, on to the next one. Provide navigation bars to highlight and give access to the navigation mechanism.
This already echoes what's been said about good navigation practices. Consistency is key.
Okay, what about group-related links? Identify the group for user agents, and until user agents do so, provide a way to bypass the group.
Again, this refers to skip navigation.
Okay, the next one says, if search functions are provided, enable different types of searches for different skill levels and preferences.
This refers to a robust search engine. Google for a moment. Mm-hmm. If you enter a term and misspell it, Google doesn't tell you that it can't find any results. It offers you a suggested spelling and returns results that are based on that spelling. Also, if language is an issue, your search functionality should be able to interpret common terms and return results based on that interpretation. Essentially, the search feature, if you use one, has to be flexible and account for user error and preference.
On to the next one. Place distinguishing information at the beginning of headings, paragraphs, lists, etc. This is another one that sounds like common sense, but...
Yes, this goes back to the use of header tags for headings. No mystery there.
Okay, the next is provide information about document collections, i.e. documents comprising of multiple pages. Is this like metadata for document collections?
No, this is about using the link tag to inform the user of documents within a group. For example, you might navigate to a page within a table of contents. There may be a link tag that refers to the first chapter, another refers to the glossary, and another that refers to the index. Some screen readers can pick up these links and present them as navigation options.
Oh, I get it. The last three in the general category seem intuitive. Provide a means to skip over multi-line ASCII 2 art. Supplement text with graphic or auditory presentations where they will facilitate comprehension of the page. Create a style of presentation that is consistent across pages.
ASCII art, isn't it cute?
Uh-huh.
If you do use it, use skip navigation for a user to bypass it. Otherwise, the screen reader will read every character that makes up that cute little elf. Supplementing text with graphic or audio for presentation to help facilitate comprehension has already been discussed. Whoever creates the content must consider all audiences, including the impaired user. I don't think I have to elucidate the last rule. That's pretty much a given.
Mm-hmm.
Think of a magazine. A magazine is a linear presentation of information. We expect to be able to read the information in a magazine in a certain predictable way. The same principles that guide the design decisions for a magazine should translate to the web with an emphasis on predictability and consistency.
All right, on to using level 3 requirements for images and image maps. Until user agents render text equivalents for client-side image map links, provide redundant text links for each active region of the client-side image map.
This again is referring to the use of text-based links in addition to the links for the images. If a user has their images turned off and there are no text links, they won't be able to navigate that image map.
Sounds good. What about level 3 requirements for tables?
Tables should have a summary attribute which describes the table. There is a recommendation here to use the ABBR attribute on TH tags, so for future screen readers can quickly read through rows and columns. Finally, table layout should be consistent and easy to read.
Lastly, what about level 3 requirements for forms?
Some legacy screen readers expect to see information in text input fields in order to read them correctly. Also, if you are using an image as a submit button, provide an alt attribute to describe that button.
Wow, Al, this is awesome, awesome information. I know you have to go, so that's all for today. Remember that all the links and resources mentioned today will be available in the transcript for this podcast located www.cyberworks.com/elearning_podcast.htm page in the Media Center of the CyberWorks website. In the next segment of our mini-series on e-learning accessibility for training managers and human resource professionals, we will be talking about / accessibility. Until then, this is Mary Kay Laferno and
Al Lemieux from CyberWorks. Have a great month.
CyberWorks Podcast. Learn anytime, anyplace.